Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Gigantic. Pop. Hey, it is September 6th, 2024. Welcome to Gigantic Pop. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Matt Morgan. The two of us together again. Matt, it's like it's nostalgia at this point.
Yes. Yes, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, man. Hope all's going well in Florida. I hear the weather is extra swampy.
It's the worst. We keep getting rain nonstop. It always comes right at the time that me and Larissa are going out to the car to get going to the gym. Puts me in a crappy mood. And of course, tonight I did it all over again. It's happened every night. And one quick thing, everyone knows my son Jackson, you know, is a nonverbal autistic, right? Well, he's going through this phase right now. He's 10 years old. Wrigley, quiet. And every time it thunders or rains now, he's worried it's going to start thundering. So he's constantly, every day, going to the window, looking out. If there's any gray in the sky, it starts, you know, messing with them.
Yeah, I bet.
Sucks. So we're trying to normalize these thunderstorms by putting them on the TV screens, putting them on our iPhones, and trying to, like, make it as regular as possible for him. So eventually, he doesn't think it's that big of a deal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Almost desensitize him to it.
No, and I mean, it's easy as a child. Did you have this as a kid where you would sort of over amplify things? Like you would watch a movie where you would see a plane get hijacked. And then every time you flew after that, you were like, this is going to get hijacked, man. Like I'm in danger, you know?
So, my family would go to Disney World. My dad would drive us in the family van every 4 years from Connecticut, where I'm from, down here to Orlando. And the movies that would have something bad happen to somebody's family going on vacation, like a bad cop, a rogue cop pulling my dad over, let's say. That would be in my head. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so I can imagine with Jackson, like it's extra with that. And I mean, but it's understandable. I mean, as kids, we all had some version of that, right? Yeah. But tonight, look, we're pregaming SmackDown. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
go ahead. Sorry.
We're pregaming SmackDown tonight, the last SmackDown of the Fox era, which is kind of crazy.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, next week it's on USA.
Wow.
Wow. I mean, it's been 5 years. I think about 5 years ago, Kofi Kingston lost the championship to Brock in like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a different time. It feels like it was the 90s. That's how long ago 5 years ago feels like at this point.
When SmackDown came to Fox, I had just been elected the year before. Or 2 years before my first term, and in 2017. And so when it came to Fox, the Orlando affiliate had me come and I'd cover the show because they were all so gung-ho at Fox, all their stations, about getting WWE SmackDown. It was one of the biggest rollouts I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, and I feel like, you know, look, the pandemic obviously derailed so many things, changed so much with wrestling. Mm-hmm. I think since they've been back to having live crowds, I feel like the product has largely rebounded where SmackDown has been treated like the A show. But it'll be interesting to see what happens when Raw goes to USA or when Raw goes to Netflix, SmackDown goes to USA, NXT goes to CW. I mean, I really feel like 3 months from now, 4 months from now, we're going to be in a different era of WWE. And it will truly see the effects of having new creative, new management at the top and being on these new networks with new freedom. It'll be exciting to see what happens.
It will be. And before I forget, I know nobody cares, but it's important to me. I just got word last Friday that I got reelected for another 4-year term unopposed.
That's awesome.
Did that never
unopposed.
Happen?
No one even bothered.
Bro, that never happens. Trust me. I always have an opponent. So... It's a relief, and it's also, you know, makes my family, my wife, my mom a heck of a lot less stressed, you know, besides myself. But I'm excited to serve another 4 years in Longwood. So this will be my third term coming up. So
Nice. It's exciting, man. You're doing great things for the city. Congratulations. So let's talk a little bit about NXTNA. This keeps on going. Now, we've talked about the conspiracy theories. Matt, Raj isn't here, so he's not going to shoot us
down.
Yeah,
he can't poo-poo on our dream.
Yes. I mean, does it feel like to you still with, you know, Jordan Grace defending the Knockouts Championship next week on NXT with Zach Wentz going over Wesley at a PLE with Joe Hendry going for the title? Do you think this is just all a huge goodwill gesture on the part of WWE? Do you think they're going to swipe these talents when their contracts are up? Or do you think WWE is going to make, put a ring on it, as it were, with TNA at some point?
So as a former TNA wrestler myself, it was a great company to go to when it wasn't working out for me in WWE at the time, when they wanted me to get off television and go to Japan for about a year. And then instead of going back to WWE, I liked what Jeff Jarrett said. I liked Jim Cornette was there at the time. Jim Cornette's the one who brought me in originally. Mm-hmm. I liked what they were going to be doing with me. And my point is, I was allowed that creative freedom that I do fear if WWE took over. They have tons of creative freedom at WWE right now, more than they've ever had, to be fair to them. It's not the same WWE that I was working against back then. But my point is, I see both sides of the argument a little bit here. I want WWE to put a ring on it so bad because that means then TNA will be here forever. Mm-hmm. And that makes me excited because I want them to be around forever. Just the name, right? But at the same time, this is not the same TNA company I worked for, folks. This is under different management. It ain't the same management that I was under, and that I know people crap on that management back then. I don't think they should, just because the amount of money they were paying us, the network we were on with Spike, we were very visible, a very visible number two. And now they're not. And it's none of the talent's fault. It's management, right? And getting on a good network. WWE putting a ring on it gets them on a good network. So I want it for that reason. But then the independent worker component, where guys and girls get to go work there if it's separated from WWE, if it doesn't work out in WWE for them, let's say, they'll have another place to go learn, quote unquote, learn a new hold, new fresh paint on top of them or whatever, and then come back maybe to WWE one day. You know what I mean? So I see both sides of it. You know what I mean, Glenn? I want them to put a ring on it, though, still, if I'm being honest, because it'll get the guys and gals more money. If they do put a ring on it, then they come and wipe all the talent they don't want in TNA right now that really need a job. Do you know what I mean?
That'd be bad. No, I agree. And I think some of that would be, but here's the problem, though. So if they don't do that, I don't want to say it's exploitative. I mean, we heard the reports that Jordan Grace got mad paid for doing Battleground, and she deserves every penny of that.
Where'd you hear that at?
Well, it was out there, man. Nowhere. So, like, but on the same hand, you look at someone like Ash by Elegance, the former Dana Brooke.
Great example.
Yeah, you don't want WWE or Nick Namath, former Dolph Ziggler. You don't want someone that gets released, goes to TNA, takes a little bit of a pay cut, and WWE is like, oh, hey, we can now pick up this talent back for pennies on the dollar versus what WWE is paying. That I don't like.
And what happens if it doesn't go well when, like, WWE's a little butthurt because Nick Namath did leave, didn't resign.
Yeah.
And they make a punishment out of it by saying, no, we don't want you. Even for TNA, we don't want you.
Yeah. So I think what's realistic is I think it's some sort of limited stake just where they put a little bit of money in. They maybe get those video library rights, which are valuable. But that way, if TNA gets massive success, WWE says, like, well, we've got a stake in this. Like, we've got 10%, 20%. Some sort of vested.
I would like to see something. I don't know what it would be, because then I always hear Raj in the back of my head, because I never thought about it, because I never knew the reports that were out there about people suing WWE for being a monopoly. I didn't know that until he shared it with us. But, I mean, even that, it's if they're doing this just for show, for that case, let's say, or for that perception they're trying to erase, they're going to have to do this for a very long time. to erase that, just because they're the only game in town. I'm sorry, that's just the way it always has been. TNA, and I want to admit that. That's just always how it's been.
No, and I get it, and I see both sides of it. But you know what I've been thinking about lately? After remember, like for 4 hours last week, it was like WWE is moving the Performance Center to Vegas, and they were like, no. They were like, we're not doing that. We're staying in Orlando, but we're going to do more in Vegas. It's like. When you're a publicly traded company, they just got all this money. from Netflix. They got money for SmackDown from USA. They got money for NXT from the CW. Damn. They got money from Saudi Arabia to do PLEs there. They're getting money to do overseas PLEs. They're getting money from cities to do Mania. Like, WWE's raking it in right now, right?
Yes.
So as a publicly traded company, they don't have some big rights they can sell. They don't have a $1 billion deal left in them as it stands right now. Maybe they could pull something out of thin air, resurrect WWE Studios. Maybe Netflix says, we're going to give you like $1 billion over 5 years to make more WWE Studios movies or something. Mm-hmm. So what I've been thinking about, I think we're going to see the WWE Hall of Fame announced at Mania as coming to a Las Vegas hotel and casino. Because what they can do, if WWE wanted to start their own Hall of Fame, that's going to go like the world did in Times Square. They're not cut out to run a retail business. But let's say Caesars or MGM, which are they own everything on the strip. Let's say one of them says, we're going to give WWE $1 billion for 10 years of the right to host the WWE Hall of Fame in the MGM Grand. That's a big money thing they can sell off. And it's going to boost the stock price. It's going to get... bottom line, like, I think that's what got me thinking after that Vegas speculation last week. It's like, that's something they can do in Vegas that makes perfect sense.
Do you know how much this is going to kill Vince? It's going to crush him. If they put the actual physical Hall of Fame and they do it in Las Vegas, no less, not in Stamford, Connecticut or New York.
I mean, they could do it at Foxwoods, but I don't think Foxwoods needs to.
No. It needs to be in Vegas. You're right. That's a good spot. Vacationers galore.
Yeah, and that was the problem, because remember, like, 25 years ago, it was like, WWE is going to buy the former Debbie Reynolds Hotel and Casino and turn it into a WWF hotel.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They were that hot then, so I do believe it.
But that was their old way of thinking. Like, we can run a hotel, and now it's
Yes.
We'll have developmental talent work as bellhops. We'll make a reality series out of it. It'll be great. Licensing is the name of the game.
Hang on. We make movies, pal. The freaking his arrogance. In fact, just hear it now with the hotel, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we can run this. Whatever. It's fun. You know, how hard could it be? Famous last words. So we got super chat. Bear Hudson, $5. Thank you, Bear. You guys are truly the best. When my dad was ill with heart failure, this was the show I listened to in order to get through. Please do more, please. Thank you, Bear. Bear, first off, thank you for your kind words. You know, Matt, I still hear from people that are talking about shows we were doing. I was speaking of the pandemic during 2020, and we're doing after shows, and we're doing all this. It's like, that still blows my mind.
Me too.
To an extent.
Me too. That just gave me goosebumps like crazy. That just made my day better. I know it sounds very selfish of me, but I'm not going to lie. That made me feel really good. Thank you for sharing that with us, brother. That's very cool. You shared that with us. And obviously even cooler, that you're going through a really rough time and we were able to help pick you up, obviously, a little bit and distract you, hopefully, with my shenanigans and tomfoolery.
Yes. Thank you, Bear. Appreciate it. And we're working with Raj. Thursdays might be the new day going forward. Mm-hmm. But Matt, I think we just need to just start doing this again, even when Raj is jet setting around the world.
We just
staying in five-star hotels. You know, it's important that we just because I missed hanging out with you, dude. I was in New York. I was in D.C. It was a lot. And, you know, that's in the back of my head, every time I buy a ticket to a Broadway show, I hear Matt Morgan say, the theater. every single time. Julia made her debut last week and No Mercy showed up on Tuesday.
How do the kids say, Glenn? Not to cut you off. What do the kids say? Aura? She's got it in spades.
Yeah, she's great. Roxanne Perez, WWE and NXT look really smart now for what they've done for the last 6 months. Building Roxanne to where she's a credible opponent for Julia and looks like they can go toe to toe.
That girl is so good. And because I'm a big man in wrestling, right? A giant, quote unquote. I was always taught if I'm a heel, I can say it, but you got to be careful. Like when talking about the Eddies and Chris's and Kurt's about their height, right? And being like, oh, you're short, you're a midget, that kind of thing. And I know now they don't let him, like, I just watched, Chelsea Green had a really good promo on Roxanne the other night at NXT that eventually then pushed out Julia. But it was a great promo, but it's called her Pocket Rocket, which I popped huge for. Snack size, pocket size, whatever. It was a really good rank up, but like, it just does draw more attention to how short she is, which is crazy because once you watch her wrestle and the bell rings, you forget how short she is because she's so freaking good. She's really good in that ring. And her promos are coming along really, really good. I'm a fan of hers. I am a big fan of Roxanne.
Yeah, she's doing great, man. I think the women's division is so overflowing with talent right now.
Right? I mean, I will stack the women. I'm just saying this as hyperbole to kiss your ass. Yeah. I know you love NXT more than everybody else here. But I will stack that women's division against any other women's divisions. I'm dead ass on that. And they could keep up as far as the whole package. I'm not just talking about in-ring wrestling. I'm talking about the storylines and the character development as well.
It's been good. I'm really excited to see where they're going with this. That North American title scene, though, is going to be the one to watch because I think Julia is going to run with that belt for like Asuka level, you know?
Which title?
No, the women's North American title, because I think Julia is going to win that title off Roxanne and be NXT women's champion for like 2 years.
Hmm.
You know, as long as they want her to be.
Yeah, she's got that it. And she's got it in spades. She just got everything.
Yeah.
She looks like somebody that's very famous and super over. I don't know how to say it any other way. It's weird to say it like that, but that's what I say. My wife even said the same thing. She's like, who is that? Is she like an actress or something? I'm like, no, but she's freaking about to be super over.
Well, and it's funny to Armando's point saying like, oh, we didn't get a vignette or explanation. I think Julia is one of the rare talents that's so good. Yeah. You don't have to say, and in fact, let me go a step further. I would say that WWE has actually made a mistake before doing vignettes. If a talent has the it factor, you don't need to tell them the story. There are some talents that I do think you want to prep people for. And then there's some like with Giovanni Vinci where I'm like, man, they're really selling him coming to SmackDown to the point where I'm like, I don't know that this is going to.
It worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit much. But I would argue, you know, I'm a huge fan of Nikita Lyons. I thought Nikita Lyons vignettes before she debuted sucked. Not due to her. It's the fact they tried to give her like five different characters. It's like all she had to do was walk into the ring and you could see she was a superstar.
And I think you lose that. You lose that. What, like my wife's reaction was, ooh, who's that?
Yeah.
Like you want some fan to say that. In fact, when we talk backstage as wrestlers and we're telling the newcomer or rookie, you want fans to say that about you. When you walk out in those first 3 seconds, when you walk out in the entranceway, you want them to get at the edge of the seat or stand up and go, ooh, who's that? That one's different. And you lose that if you're doing vignettes sometimes. And I agree with you wholeheartedly because she has that it factor that you can't explain it and nor can you produce it. Okay, you just can't. You let her go out there and you have faith in that the rest of the world's going to catch on with what we already know.
Mm-hmm. And I think it makes sense if someone is character heavy, like a Tony D'Angelo.
Then that's different. I agree. Context, character. Yeah, you're right.
You know, I like seeing where this has all been going. Really excited. I think the Zach Wentz, the Rascals, Wesley storyline has been great.
Very good. Very good. I'm not really fans of either, but now I am. I'm digging them both.
So do you think to maintain the credibility of NXT TNA as a crossover, this multiverse appeal? Yes. We saw Zach Wentz get a victory over Wesley due to Trey Miguel's interference at No Mercy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the Rascals need to win. I know Wesley's going to interfere and cost them the title on Tuesday. That's storytelling 101, right? True. But I feel like the Rascals winning the tag team championship off Fraxium would really tell us to take the NXT TNA crossover seriously.
I agree.
Because Joe Hendry losing.
I didn't think about that before, but now you put it in my head. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because Joe Hendry losing, it's like, Jordan losing, like, I just don't believe that they're going to put the belt on him anyway.
I hate to say it, but yeah. But Shawn Michaels goes overboard selling for this guy. So there's something there. Obviously, they don't look at him as some scrub or some TNA talent. I think they see him as the star that he is, which is great. But there's one thing I cannot unsee, and I can't get out of my head, unfortunately, and it concerns the Rascals and Mike Shawn Michaels. Did you see that when they're backstage and they're doing this stupid thing and Shawn's doing it? I'm like, oh my God, stop. Please stop. Now I can't unsee it.
But it's okay. That gesture, the first time I saw it, I mean, I was wanted to my puke. Honest, yeah. My honest opinion, I was like, well, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. But me too. But now that I think about it though, Matt, I kind of flipped on it though. Because it's brilliant. Because since DX and the suck it chops,
nobody has
that's not hasn't really been a thing. So good on them, because it's something kids can imitate. Although I mean,
makes them look like kids though.
Yeah, Matt, think back to Three's Company. If you were going around as kids and doing this, that meant something entirely different than.
Wait, what would he do? Do it again.
Remember, like Mr. Roper would be, you know, Jack, because he's. You know, when
oh my God, that's right. Mr. Roper would. Yes, he would.
Yeah. So it meant something much different.
Roper.
Yeah. So it meant something much different 45 years ago. But the Rascals, I think it's smart. It's stupid, but no one else is doing that right now. Like the two sweet caught on, but that was, yeah.
Here's the other part I thought about the Rascals. There's something cool about them that I'm now too old to get. Is what I gather when I hear the reactions they're getting.
And
once the bell rings, they're friggin' awesome in that ring. There's no disputing that. But I mean, as far as the characters of both Zach and Trey Miguel, and before it when they had their third partner there, that's not with the NXT. It's that, and I just thought it made them look like little kids. And I'm like, after about a year of it, I'm like, you know what? Obviously, this passed me by, and there's something here that I'm just not hitting my demo, but it's probably hitting every other.
I mean, I thought the same thing when they were MSK and they did the thing with Matt Riddle and the
yes,
like that was also. I mean, that went on for like 8 weeks.
I was like, maybe this just passed me by.
Do you know what it was? Actually, I was thinking about this the other day because we're the same age. I remember, like Ninja Turtles were kind of my last hurrah of kid stuff.
Yeah.
So when people talk about nostalgia for like Snick on Nickelodeon, like Hey Dude and Salute Your Shorts, I was like, nah, I was too old for that at that point.
Yes. Hey Dude was a little bit after us. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but that's the cutoff where I was like, that's when you millennials took over with everything.
I transitioned from my Transformers, my He-Man, TMNT figures that I still have with my LJN figure, all that stuff, to baseball card collecting.
Yeah.
Around that age. And then there was no more cartoons that I watched really.
Yeah, I remember Garbage Pail Kids came out with a new series. Oh, and I wasn't interested, though. Like, you know, when they got to like series 11, it was like, nah.
Oh, yeah. I think it was like series 1, 2, or 3, and that was over.
Saving money in your next outdoor project at Menards. Menards has the best in-stock selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber. Our huge inventory of decking, fencing, lumber, and timbers are all easy to load in our drive-thru lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our fence and deck design programs in-store or online at Menards.com. Don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. I still got binders of like all the first series. They're not really worth money. No, it's really not. Did I tell you the story about how we were cleaning out our family storage area and my brother found all his old baseball cards, and like a lot of them were molded though. And he was like really sad, 'cause he was like, oh my God, I had like McGuire rookie and all this stuff. So I didn't tell him how much it cost, 'cause I didn't want to depress him. But anyway, so for Christmas, I replaced the entire thing, but I replaced like the entire top set, Fleer set, all those. Dude, for like under $100.
Really? Because when we were kids, it's called the junk wax pack era because of the overproduction of those cards at the time in the 80s.
Yeah. But I was shocked wasn't worth more.
Me too. But now they've flip-flopped it. And now you buy a basketball card pack or a baseball card pack and you're trying to get these chase cards. And that's like a rookie today could be worth. Like 101 Wembanyama rookie, for example, is trying to be shot right now for like a little bit under $1 million. It's 1 of 1 of him right now.
Jeez. Do they do
that's all the insane?
Bullshit? They do all the bullshit with the grading of cards?
Yes.
Because on the comics, I got to tell you, I was looking at an old X-Men issue that I wanted. It was like 36. It was the one where they first get their suits. When they're not in this generic suit, but the first one, Marvel Girls in the green dress and everything. It's a cool cover. And I was like, oh, I could pick up a copy of this for like $50. But if I want the graded copy, I'm spending like $400. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I was like, why not just buy a poster?
Most heartbreaking thing is when I send these cards in to get graded and they get sent back to me as a 6 or a 7.
I'm like, yeah. And you're paying money to get it graded.
That's the biggest rib. That's the biggest rib of them all.
Ugh. I've got a bunch. I refused when we moved to Vegas 3 years ago. I can't believe we've been here 3 years already. I had a bunch of comics from the last era. I was buying comics, and what I would do, this was early 2000. So anytime there was number one, I would just buy a number one of everything because I was like, you know, it could be worth money.
Yeah. Yeah. Same.
So I'm on eBay and I'm looking at these and I'm like, oh, the graded copies are all worth something, but the loose copies are worth nothing. But I'm like, no, I can't throw them away or give them away. I must move them to Vegas. So I've got three heavy ass long boxes with all these comics.
You remember Spider-Man 300, right?
Everybody. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've got two of them, but I never got them graded. I'm scared to get them graded because I'll like jump off a bridge when it comes back as like a, you know, a mid-range grading. And
yeah, you pay more to get it graded than what it's worth.
That's the catch and that's the rib. I can't.
That's where
it.
They get you. I know, it's weird. Man, this is like old times. We're going wildly off topic. So AEW, how are you feeling?
Okay, I'm glad you brought AEW because I did want to speak a little bit. I got to be honest. I know their ratings were not good the other night. Tied for what, the second lowest rating or the lowest rating, I think is what it was, or something like that. There were 600,000, 680,000 or something like that viewers, 660 something thousand viewers, if I remember correctly. At the end of the day, I still watched the show, and I got to be honest, I did like the show.
Okay.
You know, people are making fun of the Hangman's, you know, the Hangman page burning down Swerve's house, and Randy Orton did this first, and that's where the tribalism stuff starts, and it's super lame. I thought it was a cool promo. I thought that was a cool setup for Hangman Page to burn this house down that was Swerve's supposed childhood home. That after he plugged this storyline perfectly for Swerve. I don't know if you caught it. It was that him and Prince Nana went back to where he's from, bought his childhood home back in Seattle, and he was so excited to show it to his family. He's so proud of himself. It's based off his new contract that he just legitimately did resign with AEW, keep in mind. It was a really well-played storyline. Then the next week, Swerve's in the ring for a contract signing. It was this past Wednesday. And Hangman Page is not coming out to his music. They're like, where the hell is this guy? They go to the big screen and they show Hangman Page walking through his childhood home with a gas tank and cutting a very good promo. I thought Hangman cut a very perfectly toned promo for what it needed to be, of just making sense of it too. Because remember, Hangman Page was in his home when he was the heel at the time, when Swerve was the heel at the time, and went into his home messing with his kid's crib and things like that. That was creepy. So if you're Adam Page, like, well, he's kind of justified here. I got to be honest, maybe not to burn the house, but anyways, so he burns the house. He's sitting on the freaking recliner chair. I'm sure everyone saw the picture. He's sitting there taking a drink as he's doing it. Shit looks smooth. I do. I thought it looked smooth. Looked very, very cinematic. And the promos was perfect. Swerve's sell was perfect in the ring, being heartbroken.
Yeah.
I liked it because I didn't think I'd want to see these two wrestle again because I've seen them wrestle 1,000 times. How many times I got to see the same match? But I'm intrigued now. MJF, great segment promo, in my opinion, with Daniel Garcia. Mm-hmm. Daniel Garcia is still a lot to go on the mic. He's gotten better. This is one of his better promos. And MJF in the middle of his promo stood up and started clapping. He's like, wow, we finally cut a good promo. I popped for that because he's shooting. But a good segment led to more heat on MJF versus Daniel Garcia. Do I want to see him wrestle Daniel Garcia? No, I don't. I don't. I think MJF should be at the top of the damn board working for the championship or being the champion. I'll always think that. But in the meantime, hopefully it works. It helps get this Daniel Garcia guy over if that's their goal. I'm sure it's their goal. But he better not be beating MJF. MJF can still get him over with MJF beating him. Good show. The girls, love that they got I'm probably shocking a lot of people on her because I always shit on AEW, especially Tony, right? Every single episode here. So I got to be honest, though. I do like the pairing of Mercedes Moné with Brickhouse, Camille Brickhouse. Because I'm a huge Camille mark, friends with her and her husband in real life. About time she's gotten her chance at one of the two big companies. She did a great job for NWA, by the way. She made that women's division more credible. And so I'm wanting to see that eventual breakup where Camille obviously goes her own way and starts freaking dunking on everybody in that women's division. That's what I'm waiting for. But anyways, Mercedes Moné matched with her is a good match. I like it a lot. they have Camille being just a silent, mute muscle of the duo. And so I do like the new, fresh coat of paint they've put on Mercedes since they completely blundered her debut and going this heel route with her and letting her dig into it. Her promos are still kind of annoying. She's tough to listen to at times. The voice annoys me sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the overall layer they're putting with to her character right now, I do think is the best she's looked since she's been with this company. So overall, I've been pretty happy with AEW. I did like this past show. I was really surprised to see the ratings, what they were.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And I don't know. It's funny coming, in between their two biggest pay-per-views that this would happen. Like, I worry about it because I think that,
isn't that what I always tell you, Glenn and Raj, that like, I don't give a shit about ratings. I just, maybe I'm selfish this way. Mm-hmm. I just give a shit as me, the wrestling fan. Do I like this show right now?
No,
I don't give a shit what's going on the internet and people like, Matt, you're an idiot for liking a show at 600,000 viewers. I don't care.
But there's realities to it, though. I mean, I think about some of my favorite shows that have been canceled. Like, I didn't care about
the ratings. Oh, my God. Oh, it's a heartbreak, too, by the way. When it happens, right?
Yeah, it was like, oh, hey, I really like the new Quantum Leap. Yeah, I really like the new Quantum Leap. Oh, it turns out no one else was watching it. Oh, hey, I really like Freaks and Geeks. Turns out no one else was watching it.
Like, what, Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah. No, it's like Arrested Development, all of it. Like, all these great shows get canceled. So I get with wrestling fans, because and this is where it gets messed up. And this is where it's like Tony Khan's reaction sometimes, the fans' reaction sometimes. It's like, no one's critical of AEW because they want to see AEW fail. They're critical of AEW because they want to see AEW succeed.
And we don't want to be poked constantly. Look how good we're doing. Look how good we are. Tony, you're supposed to be the underdog. Be the underdog. Be humble, excited about everything that's happening. Don't just stop overselling it so much.
Yeah.
And this is why I always tell you, he's got to stop doing these damn interviews.
I know.
He's a very friendly guy, sweetheart. I'm sure I'd like to have a hug from Tony Khan as well. But at the end of the day, he needs to stop being his own enemy and stop doing these interviews and let the talent do it.
And not every This Is Awesome chant is justified.
Oh, my God. It's so stupid. That's an example. It makes it so easy to target and make fun of. I know we're in a cynical world. I'm cynical at times, too. Very cynical. Okay? But still, that's what I'm talking about. The target that he puts on the company's back, thus all the other talent's back. You need to stop doing it.
I mean, do you remember that month when Triple H got really on Twitter again and was like interacting with people? And it was like, dude, this was just recently. And it was like, dude, like, this is not what we expect of you. Like,
what did he do? Did he do something bad?
He was like, no, he's retweeting people. He was just like, he was just trying to go out and be personable. And it was just kind of like,
this ain't you. Come on,
bro. This ain't you, man. You know?
Dude, I was just watching a match with him and Steiner in that storyline where he was just burying everybody.
Yeah.
Like, he would never lose. He'd start Monday Night Raw and talk for 45 minutes, during that era where he was Ric Flair.
No, I think if you can get away without having to be on social media or worry about that, like, that's the life, man. It's like, think about how many wrestling news sites, it's like, CM Punk put something on his Instagram story and it's like, this isn't all news. Not everything is news. You know, I don't know. It's just a weird era. So speaking of nostalgia though, WWE is bringing back Saturday Night's Main Event. Rumors are saying they got a deal with NBC to do like four primetime specials.
Sweet.
Saturday Night's Main Event, people are saying it could start as early as December.
They better use the actual Saturday Night's Main Event music. They have to.
Yeah.
Love that song.
First show will be hot. I mean, on the first show, they'll do a title change. They'll do something major.
It's tough to get in. I mean, how does Saturday Night Live do with its viewership? Do you know?
It's going into season 50, so I think they figured something out at this point.
Because what I was about to say is Saturday night is really people sitting home watching TV. I'm guessing no at that time, but maybe.
No, and the problem with SNL is you see it all the next day on the internet. Like,
oh, really?
So it's doing like 4 million. It was used to do 5 million, but no, I don't know that WWE is going to do better than 4 million viewers. I'd be shocked if it does even half that.
Oh, for WWF Saturday Night Live, you're saying?
Well, if they burn it in the SNL time slot, so it's supposed to be primetime, but is it going to be primetime like 8 o'clock, or are they going to do SNL? The Ryan Gosling episode of SNL back in April did 9 million viewers. That was like huge for SNL.
Wow.
Yeah. Saturday's a tough TV night, though.
All right. Well, you keep talking. I got to pee.
Okay. No, but I wonder, given the move of PLEs to Saturdays and given how PLEs have done very well on Saturdays as opposed to Sundays, I wonder if that perhaps foretells success of Saturday Night's Main Event if they did it in a true primetime 8 p.m. time slot on NBC. Now, we all know, looking at the history of television, that Saturday night is usually considered the lowest rated night of television each week. Sunday is often a prime spot, and then you have throughout the week, Friday takes a huge dip, but Saturday is literally, this is everyone who doesn't have a social life. This is everyone who's not going out. Let's put on Cops and America's Most Wanted and, you know, maybe reruns of Law and Order. Saturday is not exactly prime territory aside from SNL, which as children, Matt, we would come home from our plans and watch SNL. That was a huge deal.
It was. And my, I'm sure you remember as a kid too, back when VCRs were a big deal. When you had it set, you thought your dad was being slick. My dad thought he was being slick by telling me we don't have to wait up to 11 for Saturday Night's Main Event to come on. to manually hit the record button. I now can auto set it. And then I wake up the next morning, nothing's on it. But then the next week, when it's not on, SNL's back in its place, it's taping that.
What I would do, rather than figure out, like if I really cared about something and I didn't trust the timer, I'd get that 6-hour tape and put it in SLP mode. And I would start recording at 8 o'clock and go all the way till 2 a.m.
You know what, Glenn? You're definitely a smarter kid than me. I should have thought of that.
I have oldie VHS tapes where it's like, this is 6 hours of television, of NBC. And I love that. Dude, people pirate that stuff now or digitize that. And I live for that shit.
I agree. I do this. I swear to God, I'll find it in deep YouTube channels and go deep down these rabbit holes to find it and watch stuff back from the 1985 with the commercials and the toy commercials and everything. And Saturday morning cartoons, ad that would come out on Friday night.
Oh yeah.
Remember, that was a huge deal Friday night before the next Saturday morning fall season would kick off with the Saturday morning cartoons.
The preview. I was thinking about one of the previews the other day. We'll talk about that in a second, but shout out to 80s Commercial Vault on YouTube. You guys have to check out the channel. It's just the commercials from TV from a night in the 80s, 90s, 70s. Now we've been watching. And then I found another one, Ethan's TV Junkyard, and his are interesting because it's like I'm seeing commercials from different channels. I'm seeing he has the date of each one, so I just go through. I'm like, I'm just watching the 80s, and I'll go back into the 90s. But no, what I was always fond of was the Saturday morning preview special that you mentioned, where they would say like, "Hey, we're gonna take an hour on Friday night and tell you what's coming up on Saturday mornings this fall." And sometimes they would have a plot, or sometimes it would just be Dick Clark, and he would be like, you know, speaking of wacky characters, nobody is wackier than Weird Al, and he's the voice of Pac-Man coming this fall to ABC. Like, it would just be like the worst intros, and then they would show clips from all these shows, but they would do some with a plot though. And for some reason I was thinking about one from like, I think it was 1985, and it had Keisha Knight Pullum from The Cosby Show played Rudy, and it had Lisa Welchel who played Blair on The Facts of Life, and it was like a Back to the Future parody called Back to Next Saturday, and it had a story where she had to get back to next Saturday to watch all the cartoons debuting on NBC. And I don't know why there was a song. I was thinking about this. Do you ever get that where you just think of like a random song or jingle or something you saw on TV 40 years ago and it just gets stuck in your head?
Yes. I'm riding on the desert with a horse with no name. That was the stupid back when it was started a brand new thing to be like a mix tape.
Yeah,
it wasn't called a mixtape back in the 80s. It was just like, here's the greatest songs from the 70s.
Dude, there's some songs that I only know from those commercials, and I know them in order. One. So when I see the commercial, I go like, "Knights in white satin, I've been waiting for a girl like you." Yes. Like I just know the, and I know the order. I can just call them out when it's happening.
100%, yes, Glenn.
Yeah.
We're probably losing viewers by the hundreds now.
No, we're going up because everybody relates to this.
I hope they do. I hope they don't think we're being complete geeks here because this is so true. Like what he just said is that commercial. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, and it's just like, you know, Cherish and just, yes, the whole list. So I get that stuck in my head. I get weird old commercials the other day. I'm walking around singing Live It to the Limit, Live It to the Limit with Wrangler. Like, I'm just thinking about things. Or what was the Nestle one? Sweet Dreams You Can't Resist, N-E-S-T-L-E-S.
Yeah.
Like, that gets stuck in my head monthly.
They try to make it so serious. It was back when they were introducing the white chocolate, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and we've got all of a sudden like a Celine Dion song. Like, yes. Oh, man. No, this is why it's a good podcasting with people my age who understand the trials and tribulations. I'm excited. I'm sorry, what were you going to say?
Cover real quick. What can we expect on SmackDown tonight?
I don't know. Let me look at Fightful's report. We'll be really professional.
What do you predict? As all I really care about is obviously the bloodline. Is Jacob still in his boot?
Yeah, I don't know that they're going out with a huge bang. Maybe they are. It would be awesome if they were like, hey, last night I'm on SPAC. Ooh, what if Cletus the Robot shows up and like Bloodline beats down Cletus?
Cletus the Robot?
Yeah, the Fox Sports robot.
Oh, I didn't know that was his name. Okay.
I didn't know that. Somebody told me that was his name. I think that's his name. But yeah, if Cletus shows up and they kick the crap out of him, that'll be amazing. So everybody cover your ears. According to Fightful tonight, we're getting, I won't read the spoilers. You gotta be a Fightful premium subscriber on Patreon for that, like I am. Mm-hmm. But Sean Ross Sapp has learned the following plans for SmackDown. We're gonna have Cody Rhodes and Solo with a confrontation. Bailey versus Tiffany Stratton tonight. Nice. Giovanni Vinci is going to make his debut. Okay. LA Knight's going to get a promo, a vignette on Bianca and Jade. And then the main event is going to be the Bloodline versus DIY and the Street Profits.
Yeah, I don't know about the main event, but everything else I like.
What if, you know, they should really bookend it and have Kofi Kingston beat up Brock Lesnar? And that we could have, that's something. The end, you know?
I think they could have done it like 3 months ago.
Yes. Oh, Brock
was at his heat with most heat.
Here's the throwback, Matt, to the 80s. What if at the very end of SmackDown, the last shot is that we could either go New Heart and Kofi Kingston wakes up in bed next to Xavier Woods and Big E and he's like, I just had the strangest dream. And he's got the title next to him.
And
he's
like, brother named Larry and a brother named Daryl and Daryl.
Or what if it's like Dallas and Kofi Kingston wakes up and then goes and sees Brock Lesnar in the shower. And that's how we know Brock is coming back to WWE.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah. So it's going to be exciting tonight. But next week, they're going to really pull out the big guns for SmackDown on USA. But I think that covers it all, Matt. I think we did it all in 40 minutes. Told people everything they need to know today about what's going on this week. Next week, we'll be back. Pay attention to the Twitter. We'll talk probably Thursday. But if something major happens, we'll try and jump on between now and then. Be sure to like, share, subscribe. We're going to be back doing this on a more regular basis. Be sure to leave a comment and follow Matt at BP Matt Morgan on the socials. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Until then, take care, everyone. We'll catch you back here next time on Gigantic Pop.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Save big on your next project right now at Menards. Save time on your paint project with help from Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape. Use on walls, trim, glass, wood, or metal for clean removal and clean paint lines every time. Save big and get a 3-pack of Duck Clean Release Painter's Tape on sale now through September 22nd. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.